In 1908, Ruth Belville walked London streets carrying an oversized handbag, but she wasn't delivering mail or groceries. Inside rested Arnold, a pocket watch that would determine the rhythm of an entire city. Watchmakers greeted her like an old friend, asking after Arnold's condition before checking their store clocks against its precision. Ruth was selling something humans had never truly possessed before: exact time. This peculiar profession reveals a deep truth about our relationship with the materials around us. We don't just create technologies, they remake us in return. From the steel in our railways to the silicon in our phones, eight materials have quietly orchestrated one of history's most profound transformations: the reshaping of human consciousness itself. Before clocks governed our lives, humans slept in two distinct phases. Around 9 p.m., our ancestors would drift into first sleep for roughly 3 hours, wake around midnight for an hour of quiet activity, praying, reading, making love, or simply thinking, then return for second sleep until dawn. This pattern, documented in texts spanning two millennia, from ancient writings to Don Quixote, wasn't considered problematic. It was simply how humans rested. Benjamin Huntsman's crucible steel revolutionized 18th century steelmaking, producing watch springs consistent enough to regiment society. By the 1920s, Warren Marison's quartz clocks were so accurate, New Yorkers could dial ME71212 for the exact time. The Puritan work ethic merged with capitalism, making segmented sleep seem wasteful. Artificial lighting extended workdays, erasing this ancient pattern within a generation. Today, despite superior mattresses and climate control, 50 to 70 million Americans suffer sleep disorders. Our bodies remember what our culture has forgotten. When Lincoln's funeral train crawled toward Springfield in April 1865, millions lined the tracks. Henry Bessemer discovered that forcing air through molten pig iron removed excess carbon. His first experiment erupted into volcanic fury, but it worked. Steel rails became America's connective tissue. Chicago tripled in population. New cities sprouted along rail lines. What once took 5 days by stagecoach took 1 day by train. Christmas transformed. Composers created carols, cards flourished, and by 1890, gift-giving became an epidemic. Steel rails brought Maine trees to New York and shoppers to stores, turning religious observance into commercial celebration. In January 1815, British Major General Edward Pakenham attacked Andrew Jackson at New Orleans. His assault collapsed when boats stuck in mud and troops forgot ladders. Within 2 hours, thousands of British soldiers lay dead, including Pakenham. American casualties barely reached 100. The tragedy? Entirely unnecessary. 2 weeks earlier, diplomats in Belgium had signed a peace treaty ending the War of 1812. Without instantaneous communication, news traveled by boat, taking weeks to reach Washington and months to reach Jackson. In 1832, Samuel Morse sailed home from Europe aboard the Sully, formulating how to communicate with lightning speed. By 1835, working as an art professor at NYU, he crafted a rudimentary machine using studio tools: a wooden frame, a sawed pencil, parts from an old clock. Electrical pulses pushed the pencil across paper, creating dots and dashes. After Professor Leonard Gale added multiple batteries and machinist Alfred Vail transformed the wooden frame into metal, Morse's system could transmit 10 words per minute, humanity's fastest communication ever. On May 24, 1844, Morse tapped out the first official message: "What hath God wrought?" The telegraph didn't just speed communication, it compressed language itself. Companies charged by the word, creating pressure for brevity. When Ernest Hemingway arrived at the Kansas City Star in 1917, the newspaper's style sheet demanded, "Use short sentences, use short first paragraphs, use vigorous English." Abbreviated codes emerged: POTUS, SCOTUS, OK. Hemingway's lean prose was forged in the telegraph's crucible. In the 1870s, Leland Stanford challenged photographer Edward Muybridge to prove horses lift all four hooves while galloping. Photography required 60-second exposures, making movement impossible to capture. Muybridge returned in 1877 with 12 electromagnetically triggered cameras, definitively showing horses airborne, sparking humanity's obsession with freezing time. Yet photography's triumph concealed troubling bias. In 1960s schools, African American children appeared as featureless shadows, while white children were perfectly rendered. The culprit? Shirley cards, standardized reference images featuring white women used to calibrate all equipment. Skin tones unlike hers appeared unnatural or blackened. The industry only responded when furniture and chocolate manufacturers complained about dark products in advertising. By the 1980s, Kodak introduced film capturing a dark horse in low light, code for properly rendering darker skin. Photography's technical limitations weren't neutral. They reflected and reinforced society's deepest prejudices. As twilight falls, fireflies emerge with glowing signals that have enchanted cultures worldwide. Ancient Japanese believed they embodied samurai souls. Yet these luminous insects are declining due to artificial lighting flooding our night skies. After witnessing William Wallace's arc lamp demonstration in September 1878, Thomas Edison raced to create something better. While Wallace's lights flooded rooms like searchlights, Edison recognized they couldn't be subdivided for homes. Edison wasn't first to pursue incandescent lighting. Over 24 inventors had tried since 1838. After struggling with platinum filaments, he returned to carbon, which glowed brighter due to high electrical resistance. By October 1879, Edison created bulbs glowing 40 hours continuously. This breakthrough meant no corner of Earth would ever be dark again. Artificial light disrupts our circadian rhythms by triggering photoreceptors that detect blue light, signaling our brains to stop producing melatonin. This perpetual daytime mode links to cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and obesity. Light pollution has robbed us of the night sky. Most Americans see only 50 stars instead of thousands. For fireflies, the consequences are dire. Males flash signals while females respond if interested, but artificial lights disrupt this delicate courtship. With only 14 days in their adult stage after 2 years underground, fireflies have precious little time to find mates. In 1977, Carl Sagan curated NASA's golden record for Voyager, a gold-coated copper disc carrying Earth's greetings to the cosmos, with Senegalese percussion, Azerbaijani flutes, Navajo chants, and jazz. These records, launched that August and September, were made possible by Edison's phonograph, invented exactly a century earlier. In summer 1877, 31-year-old Edison was improving telegraph technology when midnight inspiration struck. A pointed diaphragm pulling wax paper underneath could capture and replay speech. By December, he refined his design using a tinfoil-wrapped cylinder. Recording Mary Had a Little Lamb and playing it back, he created the phonograph, transforming sound from ephemeral to immortal and democratizing music by bringing it from concert halls to living rooms. As data storage evolved from physical media to digital files, humans became the data being collected. Music streaming services now gather listeners' habits, locations, and social connections. Edison's dream of sharing music has been realized, but with an unintended consequence. Our personal information is now shared without our control, turning us into products rather than consumers. In 1848, an iron rod through Phineas Gage's frontal lobe revealed how specific brain regions control particular functions, launching modern neuroscience. Today, the internet rewires our neural pathways just as profoundly. The journey to Silicon Mines began with George Coy's 1878 telephone switchboard. Gordon Teal's breakthrough came at Bell Labs with single-crystal germanium, then a working silicon transistor at Texas Instruments, deemed impossible by experts. That became computing's cornerstone. Now our brains and computers share fundamental similarities. We've shifted from remembering information to remembering where to find it, developing Google brains. David Eagleman praises the internet's potential to expand knowledge. Nicholas Carr warns about diminished deep thinking. Both are right. Every technology we've examined began as a solution to a human problem. Each became something more, a force reshaping not just what we do, but who we are. The question isn't whether materials will continue transforming us, but whether we'll remain conscious participants in that transformation.